Philippians chapter 1, and we'll be looking this morning at the idea that I've still got it. I've still got it. You know, they tell me that there comes a time in every man's life when he has to take stock of what he has left. You know, he finds that he's not as strong as he used to be, not as fast as he used to be, maybe not as durable as he used to be. And so he's got to take stock, and when he does, he's got a couple of choices. One of the popular choices seems to be delusion in a Harley Davidson. Another is depression and hopelessness. Maybe a last is simply the determination that, you know what, I may not be as strong as I used to be, and as fast as I used to be, and as durable as I used to be, but hey, I've still got it where it counts. You know, you look at the book of Philippians, and you know what you find? You find a book about joy. And that's striking, beloved. That is striking, because Philippians, while it's a book about joy, was written by a man in jail, in prison. Now, I know these days are hard, but beloved, if you want to compare difficult days, I hate to bust your bubble, Paul wins. Do you want to compare quarantine? I hate to bust your bubble, Paul wins. Do you want to compare threat to life and difficult days? The reality is, sadly, Paul wins. And yet Paul, from a prison cell, writes more like a conqueror than a captive. And so it begs the question, how? It begs the question, why? Is this maybe just the Apostle Paul trying to rally himself and rally the troops? Is this just empty words of a beaten down man? No. No. You know what it is? It's the Apostle Paul. He realized that they may have taken his freedoms. They may have threatened his life, and they may have threatened his Lord. But Paul realized something, beloved, that you and I need to realize today. Paul realized that while they could take his freedom and while they could threaten his life, Paul realized that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature could separate Paul from what really mattered. And so Paul could write the book of Philippians. And he could say, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. He could say that I have found in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Because Paul realized that even right here in a prison cell, even right now, that I've still got everything that matters. Paul could say, you know what? I still got it. And beloved, you can too. And this morning from Philippians chapter 1, I just want to take a look at just three very simple ways that you and I, like Paul, need to recognize and rejoice in the fact that I've still got it. Look with me at verse number 1. The Bible says this, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. You know, Paul here begins as he opens up his letter and he addresses himself and Timothy, and he calls himself the servants of Jesus Christ. When he talks to the people at Philippi, who, by the way, were undergoing and had undergone intense persecution in Philippi as well, he reminds them that they were the saints in Christ Jesus. You know, very simply, before Paul ever gets going, you know what he points out? They may have taken a lot of things away from me, but you know what they couldn't take away? They can't take away my profession. They can't take away my profession. Beloved, circumstances change. It is a fact of life. And your portion in this life will continue to change. And by the way, if you spend your life trying to hold on to what you understand and what you know is normal, you will spend your life frustrated, because in this life, your portion will change. I tell you this, in this life, your portion won't always be fair. Can I get an amen there? Your portion won't always be fair. But here's the reality, circumstances change. And so happiness that's built on happenstance will never leave you fulfilled. Happiness that's built on happenstance will never leave you fulfilled. You recognize that in our society, we tend to identify and affirm ourselves in dangerous ways. You know, as Americans, one of the first questions we ask each other when we meet each other is, what do you do? Why? Because in America, we tend to find a lot of our identity in our job. We find a lot of our affirmation and our identity in relationships and feelings and finances and in accomplishments. But let me ask you this, what happens when those things change? What happens when those things fall apart? You know, all of those things that I just mentioned are things that eventually change, that eventually cease, that eventually fall apart. Believe it or not, you will not be working the same job you're working now 100 years from now. Whether you realize it or not, the relationships as we experience them in this life will not be the same way that they are 100 years from now. The feelings, my feelings aren't the same 5 minutes from now. Finances, how many of us have seen wild swings in finances through all of this? They don't stay the same. Circumstances change. And if we're not careful, when those things change, when those things end, we find ourselves as empty as those things really are. Solomon put it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 10. Listen to what he said. He said, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them." He said, "I withheld not mine heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of my labor. And then I looked on all the works of my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Try as you might, all of those things will change. All of those things will come to an end. But while circumstances change, listen to me, Christians, while circumstances change, your calling continues. My portion in this life will change. My position in Jesus Christ will never change. I am still his servant, Paul said. I am still his saint. I am still an image bearer of the Most High God. I am still indwelt by his Spirit. I am still held in his hand. And no matter where this life leaves me, no matter what this life takes away, I am still a joint heir with Christ. That's why Paul could write in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 17. He said, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared." Do you hear it, church? That I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. No, we need to get it down, because you know what? We are suffering, a lot of us, and we are very run down and empty, and we are struggling, but the Bible still says, and it's still true, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let my portion change. That's okay. You can't take away who I am in Christ. I still got my profession. I've still got it. Still got it. And every bit about me that really matters I've still got it. Paul said, I've still got my profession. But I want you to see what else he says. Look at verse 2. He says this. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Doesn't that strike you strange? Leave verse 5. Look at verse 5 there in your Bible. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now? I mean, did I misunderstand the situation that Philippians was written under? I mean, is Paul right there with them? I mean, he thanks God for their fellowship now. Why in the world would Paul talk about fellowship when he couldn't be there present with them? You know why? Because Paul realized, I've still got it. You know, I still have my profession, and I still have my people. I wanted to make Roman numeral 2 peeps, but I felt that wouldn't be appropriate for a Sunday morning. I still got it. I still have my profession. I still have my people. I want you to think about that. How does he talk about fellowship? Paul speaks of fellowship with no physical contact. Paul speaks of fellowship without being able to see them or to be with them. You know why? Because the foundation of fellowship is not a place. The foundation of fellowship, and fellowship, remember, is not a handshake and a smile and how do you do, or a knock elbow and a smile and how do you do. Fellowship is a shared life. And Paul understood that you don't have to be in the same place to still share the same life. You notice way back in verse 2, and you see what the foundation for fellowship is. Fellowship, shared life, begins with the shared experience that we have in receiving grace and peace from God through Christ. That is the foundation for our shared life. That is, Paul put in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 6, that there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the foundation for fellowship. Because grace and peace, they leave no room for rivalry. They leave no room for continued friction. You see, where there is grace, there can be no commencement of hostility. And where there is peace, there can be no continuation of hostility. And so here's what happens. Here's what provides the foundation of fellowship. Is that grace and peace that I have received from God, I then extend to others. That the grace and peace that you have received from God, that you then extend to others. And you know what happens? We become bound together in the Spirit of God. Because it is what is from God that unites us in the Lord. And by the way, grace-filled unity will always be greater than uniformity. You know what? Grace and peace as the foundation of fellowship allow us to come to the same church and like different sports teams. Grace and peace that comes from the Father that's extended among us allows us to come to the same church and even some of us be from Michigan. Grace and peace that's from the Father that's extended among us allows us to come to church and listen to me. allows us even to disagree on things politically sometimes. Because grace and peace from the Father that's extended among us is always greater. And we don't all have to be exactly the same. We have to all have that grace and peace from God extended among us. That is the foundation for fellowship. That is the foundation for shared life. And Paul said, you know what? I still look at a group of people who I am connected with, who I share life with because of the grace and peace from Almighty God. But I want you to notice what else he says in verse number 5 there. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel. You know, not only do we see the focus or the foundation of fellowship, but we see the focus of fellowship. It's not just grace and peace for grace and peace sake. It's peace for a purpose. Did you know, I want you to think with me. Did you know that we can still perform all of those one another's that we need to, even in this time where we have to be apart? Did you know you can still pray for one another? Did you know that? We can still pray for one another. Did you know that we can still participate in one another's lives? Man, what a day we have where we can write a letter and then 3.5 weeks later it gets delivered, or we can pick up our phone and we can FaceTime somebody, or we can give them a call, or we can shoot them a text message, or we can wave out a window and holler from a safe distance on the porch. We can still participate in one another's lives. You know what else we can do? We can still prefer one another better than ourselves. We can still help to provide for one another, to help bear one another's burdens. Ladies and gentlemen, it is peace for a purpose, and all of those one another's that Paul and that the Lord has given us to do, and many through the writings of Paul in the epistles, we can still be what we need to be for one another in this time. So, hey, reach out. That's what the challenge for this week is. Reach out, 2 by 2, 2 people in your family, 2 people in your community. Let's be a church. Fellowship with a focus. Peace with a purpose. You know why? This is why this is so important. Because we need to see and hear from one another at worship time. Oh, we do. That's why you need to be, if possible, on time for every church service. We're not watching replays on Tuesday afternoon if we can help it. That's why you need to be not only on time, but on till the end. When we come to the time of invitation, that's a time for every one of us to meet with God. So be on time, be on till the end. You know, that's why this journey with Jesus. What is this journey with Jesus doing? Is this just filler, Pastor Holmes, to give us something to do in the meantime? No! The journey with Jesus is to align our focus with who Jesus was and what he taught and what I can learn and how I can be like him. You realize that we're not all coming from the same place, that some of us are different ethnicities and we have different social spheres that we run in and we have different interests in the hobbies. But what is it that keeps us in unity is that we are all headed in the same direction, whether you're coming from there or there or there or there down. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all headed in one direction, and that direction is the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's peace with a purpose. And so as a church, we're going on a journey with Jesus to put our focus in on the Lord, because what we need more than anything in this time is to keep on those things that must never change. And we're doing it together, and we're doing it in one accord. I want to show you a couple of verses. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse number 5. Look at this. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, would you look with me at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I know that a lot of people feel isolated, and I know that a lot of people feel disconnected, but I want you to know on the authority of God's word, when it comes to my people, when it comes to my fellow followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've still got it. And you know what? If you buy in, you know what you'll find? You come to church. You know what you'll find? You go on the journey with Luke. You know what you'll find? You start texting people and doing things for people and loving people. Do you know what you'll find? You'll find that you feel more connected to your people than ever before. Paul said, I may be in prison, but I still got it. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And so, church, understand this. Fellowship is not meant for you and I to come together and shake hands, but for you and I to work together to shake this world for the glory of our great God. Whew. So we're going to keep worshiping together. We're going to keep ministering together. Just buy in. Quit worrying about what you don't have anymore. And just buy in. Just buy in and recognize I still got it. And so Paul says, you know what? I've still got my profession. I've still got my people. I want you to notice this in verse number 6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul says, you know what? I've still got my profession. Paul says, they can take a lot away, but I've still got my people. And finally, Paul says, I've still got my purpose. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. You know what Paul recognized here? Paul recognized his assigned place. His assigned place. Now watch this with me, and I want to set the stage with this. Did you realize that COVID-19 did not catch God off guard? Okay? That the Lord Jesus up in heaven didn't say, wow, I really didn't expect the world to react like that. Maybe for this season, we'll just pause for the cause with the kingdom of God. No, COVID-19 didn't catch God off guard. We have said it, I believe it, that the world may stand still, but the kingdom of God marches on. Why? Because this is God's work. Why? Because this is God's place that he has for me. I want you to see what Paul said. Look down in verse number 15 of chapter number 1. Paul is speaking of the fact that his imprisonment has caused some people to preach out of goodwill and others to preach out of spite. And he's sitting in prison and can't do much about it. He said, Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, he said, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. That little word set right there. That little word set has the idea that Paul recognized that where he was wasn't just happenstance. That God had set him there. That the place where Paul was an appointed place, was an appointed time. You can look at it this way, that being in jail like Paul was, that was Paul's assignment. Paul said, I have been assigned for the defense of the gospel in this place. Paul recognized, now hear me, that his station was not happenstance. But his station was from the loving hand of God. And let me say this, and let me say this clearly, Christian, you are where you are because your loving Heavenly Father has put you there. You say, well, preacher, but I've lost my job. And you know what? In that place, God has set you for His purpose. You say, well, preacher, there's so much unknown and so much of my life has changed and my life has been all rearranged and I can't go and do and I can't see my family and I can't. And preacher, it's hard. I know. But you have been assigned by God to this place for His purpose. COVID-19 didn't catch God off guard. And we all say amen to that. But hey, your circumstance didn't catch God off guard. By the way, if our church, members of our church, end up getting sick, can I tell you, that didn't catch God off guard. If members of our church end up getting sick, can I tell you what? That's because that God has set them for that purpose at that time. He didn't catch God off guard. Paul recognized that where he was his assigned place. And you know what? That's encouraging to me. That's liberating to me because I understand this, that with God's assigned place comes God's assured purpose. Here in Philippians chapter 1, where he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it. That word perform means to bring to a completion. Not only did God not catch it off guard, but God is doing something in your life. I want you to see what Paul said in chapter 1 in verse number 18. Right after he said that I'm set for the defense of the gospel, he said, what then, notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul said, I'm in this place, but even while I'm in this place, I can see that God's purpose is being worked out. And he said, I rejoice. Now, I'll tell you something about us. We don't much like pain. We don't much like pain, do we? No, we don't. You know what? I think that's a general statement that most everybody could agree with. But I heard somebody say this week, and I thought it was so profound. Now, you got to hear me out, all right? I don't know that it's so much that we don't like pain. Because you see, many of you went out and worked in the yard yesterday. And you got hot, you got tired, and some of you, your knees are sore, and your backs are sore, and your cuticles are all frayed. But you know what? You didn't mind that so much. You know, some of you exercise. You know, people pay to run marathons. Why? 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 I don't know. People pay to exercise. And exercising, ladies and gentlemen, is pain. Whether you're running, doing push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, planking, it's pain. But you know what? If you're into exercise, you don't mind that pain too much. You know what I think about this? My baby girl turns 6 on Friday. My babies are growing up. But I was there with Amy when all three of those youngins came into the world, and I can make a fairly reasonable guess based on that was painful. That was painful. You know what? When it was done, didn't mind that pain so much. See, listen to me. It's not so much that we don't like pain. It's that we don't like pain without a purpose. You know what Paul realized sitting in a jail cell? Paul realized sitting in a jail cell that the whole reason that he was able to write to a church at Philippi was because God told him no. You remember that? Acts chapter 16 and verse number 6? The Bible says this, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the devil to preach the word in Asia. Is that what that verse says? No. No. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So Paul had the desire, God, I want to go there. God, I want to do that. God, I want to be with them. God, I want that for my life. And you know what? That's a good thing. I've had the Holy Spirit tell me not to do a lot of things. Preach is not one of them. Preach is one that I would struggle with. And yet Paul said, you know what? God, I want this. I want this. I want this. And the Holy Spirit said, no. You know what Paul could have done? Well, I guess I'm done for now. I guess I'm go home, sit, and I wait for all this to be over. Did Paul do that? No. You know what you find? That sometimes, listen to me, sometimes you have to pass by what you've planned. And sometimes you have to endure pain to get to God's purpose. That if God, here's what Paul realized, that if God had a purpose in that no, then Paul's got a purpose in this. As he sits in a jail cell, Paul recognized that this pain is not pointless. It is being used to fulfill God's assured purpose. Now, you say, preacher, well, what is God's purpose for COVID-19? I'm not entirely sure. I'm not. But every ounce of my faith demands this. That when I'm down to nothing, I can be certain that my God is up to something. Because being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul could say, when it comes to my purpose, I've still got it. But here's where we find ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what we're finding? We're finding in these days that what is most important is often least impressive. You know what? You're not showing up at church to impress anybody these days. You're not worried so much about what your hair looks like or what your clothes looks like or what your voice. What you're finding is what's most important is often least impressive. This is where we have to get on board with the apostle. A lot of those impressive things in our lives have been put on hold. A lot of those goings and doings and big events and this, and a lot of that's been put on hold. A lot of the impressive stuff is gone. But what's most important? I've still got it. What's most important? I've still got it. And there's not a power on earth or in hell beneath that can take away what my God's given me. My profession, my people, and my purpose. Now let me make a plea this morning. No doubt there are some watching and listening this morning who are not a Christian, who have never trusted Jesus Christ. And you know what? Right now, you're saying, I need this. I need this. This morning, if that's you, I want you to know that our God is a good God. And his great desire is to reveal himself and his love to you. He didn't just shout his love from heaven, but he showed his love on earth by becoming one of us. And this morning, beloved, if you are not a Christian, I would implore you to consider Jesus. In Jesus, we see his love lived out in his perfect life. In Jesus, we see his love and his death and resurrection for us. As the Bible says, that whosoever then should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you could trust him today wherever you are, in your car, at your house, in your living room. Would you trust Jesus today? If you're on Facebook, I would implore you to click the link there about seeking a cure and find the cure that God has made for you through His Son. He will forgive your sin. He will make you new. And you will be able to say, I've still got it. Christian, understand that what we are going through, what we are facing is not a loss. What we are facing is a new level. And we've still got it. Why? Because He still got this. And it is high time that we tell the devil to get at least 6 feet behind us, that we remind ourselves that we have a good God, that He is a good, good Father, and that, you know what? I'm going to praise Him for the yes, and I'm going to praise Him for the no. I'm going to praise Him on the mountain. I'm going to praise Him on the valley. I'm going to praise Him, and I'm asking, will the church of the living God rise up today and stand together? They can take a lot away, but they can't take what matters. I've still got it. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning,